Minnesota's news and weather station is also Minnesota's station for Steel Talking. We'll keep you up to date with the latest news every hour. But now, here's CCO's Geralyn Steele.
WCCO.
Welcome back to Steel Talking. All things arts and entertainment comes up in the 9 o'clock hour for Center Stage. But this hour, I'm really excited about. As I told you earlier, Deanna Thompson is the director of St. Olaf College's Lutheran Center for Faith, Values, and Community. She is a local expert in virtual worship practices and virtual communion related to worship at home. Now, as someone who was once diagnosed with incurable cancer, Deanna had experience with social isolation and virtual worship before the COVID-19 pandemic. And when she was living with cancer, she found that virtual connections were not simply poor substitutes for real interaction, but that they were incredibly meaningful in a time of despair. She is, again, director of St. Olaf College's Lutheran Center for Faith, Values, and Community. She is a nationally renowned speaker, published author, and expert on faith communities in the digital age. And she is joining me now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Deanna, welcome to WCCO.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be with you.
It's a privilege to have you. Now, houses of worship are currently practicing their faith within the parameters of COVID-19, as we just spoke about. But many churches are successful and some are not. With churches facing challenges for lack of current technology, some are deciding to close their doors, shutter. What might church look like in the months ahead before we talk about where we are right now?
This has been such an upheaval for so many different places of worship that hadn't ever done anything virtually. And now we're finding that that's about the only way that people can gather together these days. So I anticipate that there's going to be a lot more of virtual worship. But I know that some places are also using the warm summer months to gather in cars and parking lots and finding other ways to get together when we're not supposed to be able to be very close together physically.
Right. So what is the perfect option for various churches? Does it change from denomination to denomination? Because I've sung at some of the virtual services, I've had virtual meetings that I've sung on, and I have to tell you, it's a whole nother feeling. But I did get something out of it. So I think you're absolutely right that it can be meaningful. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, one of the things we're seeing right now is that for many different communities, this is literally the only way that they can gather, right? Because it's too dangerous to get together in person. And especially the people who really can't get together are going to be the most vulnerable health-wise, that they just can't risk getting together. So I think it's actually a really important mission for the church right now to offer virtual worship for people at this time when we can't gather in person, and say that we still have a tool. Technology allows us to still be the church and still gather together even when we can't do that physically.
Right. I know some of the smaller churches can do a Zoom meeting, a Zoom service, and they, you know, the pastor or whoever is officiating, they can see all of the faces of the members and those visiting, right? And that's really special. But for some of the larger churches, that's a challenge. And so many of them have started putting their services on YouTube so that you can watch at any point in time. Do you also find that the experience can still be very spiritual, very special, even if it's on YouTube and you watch it a week later?
I think that's a great question, and that's one that a lot of churches are really having discussions about right now. For some people, they'll say that it doesn't really count if we're not all gathering at the same time and can't really see each other, across the screen in like a Zoom meeting. But other people will say when you're gathering, even if it's been pre-recorded, it can still be meaningful. I've had people tell me that they've found themselves on their knees in their living room during the prayers. And people have been crying during hymns or listening to people sing as part of worship. And so I'm not sure if it has to be actually live, but I think what you're the question you're asking raises the question of what makes it worship and what makes it meaningful.
Oh, let's get into that, please.
Well, and I think that that's something, I mean, this is, it's kind of a watershed moment where there were, as you said, there were, you know, especially bigger mega churches had been doing online worship or live streaming worship for a while, but most churches hadn't really been doing that. And I think that for a lot of people, they have felt like if you're not gathering in person, it's somehow less real or less meaningful. And I think it can be less real, it can be less meaningful, but sometimes when we gather in person, that cannot be meaningful too, right?
Amen,
and
so true.
Right, so I think it's not necessarily the medium, but it's more kind of what kind of experience is being cultivated. And what we've experienced, I know in our church and when I've watched some other churches online, is I feel like so many leaders, singers, worship leaders, pastors, have really put their heart and soul into these online worship services. And it feels like they're really speaking to us at this time. So I think many people have been finding that it is really meaningful. And I think that's been surprising for a lot of people.
I think some pastors might have even, said or shared with someone that, they don't feel comfortable. Will they lose members now because it's a virtual experience? And we've already seen a mass exodus from a lot of the churches, right? And we've been trying to stop that from happening. But boy, this COVID-19 has changed everything. But here's the good news. I do know of churches where they have more people joining.
Yeah.
They have more people that are giving, and
right.
It's been quite remarkable. And I don't know if there is a formula we can come up with that we can share with everyone so that can
right.
happen to them as well.
Well, and that's where I think if people are being their authentic selves, they're asking God to be present with them at this time, that that they're taking it seriously, that this can really be a meaningful experience. I know in a lot of churches, what I'm hearing is that they're actually experiencing an increase in people who are attending virtually. And also in my own church, we just heard from someone who joined our church a couple of weeks ago and has only been worshiping with our church virtually, has never even actually set foot in the church physically, but felt so welcomed and felt like it was such a great community to be a part of. So for me, that kind of blew my mind. So I think we're continuing to see ways in which I would say the Spirit is at work in the church in this time where we're virtually gathering.
But I do miss seeing the members.
Yeah.
There is that connection. You know,
absolutely.
My granddaughter had asked her mother if her childhood, she's 7 years old, she asked if her childhood was over now because she doesn't get to see her friends or be in their company. They don't play together. That whole culture of being a part of each other,
right.
you know, sharing
right.
each other, is not there. And it really just kind of blew my mind in it. I started to wonder about my own life. I started to look at my virtual happy hours, the virtual services and everything is virtual,
right.
but when you don't have that touch, we are sentient. We need to be touched and hugged. So where do you see this going in the next 5 years? What if COVID was here to stay, sits down for 5 years? Then what
right.
happens to the church?
I know, it's a great question, and I think a lot of people are asking that exact question right now. I mean, I think that there are ways in which, like you said in the introduction, I got diagnosed with incurable cancer, and I was shocked to realize that virtual communication was actually a gift in many cases. At the same time, though, there's no substitute for someone rubbing your feet, or there's no substitute for someone
right.
taking you to the doctor in, driving you there. So there's ways in which gathering virtually is inferior to gathering in person, but I think that there's some advantages, right? Like I know in our church, we are experiencing people worshiping with us who live in Texas or who live in Illinois. They have found our church to be a community they want to be a part of, and they could never do that if it were just in person, right? So I think one of the big things that churches are wrestling with many churches want are just saying, please let us get back together as soon as possible. The big question is how long this is going to last.
And exactly.
And I think that the people who aren't going to be able to go back to in-person worship very quickly are going to be many of the most vulnerable, those who are much older, those who have compromised immune systems. And if the church is going to be the church and minister to those who are suffering, it's going to need to think about how to use these tools to still continue to offer worship, to offer programming to people who aren't going to maybe ever be able to come back to church in person. But I agree with you. There's losses, and I think we need to mourn those and lament those while also saying we have a wonderful tool that can help us experience being together, not in the exact same way, but in ways that are still meaningful.
Deanna Thompson, a local expert in virtual worship practices, is joining us. Can you stick with me for one more segment?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back to Steel Talking right here on CCO. It is now 8:24. Welcome back to Steel Talking. And, of course, I'm speaking with Deanna Thompson, a local expert in virtual worship practices and virtual communion. She is the director of St. Olaf College's Lutheran Center for Faith, Values, and Community. Welcome back, Deanna.
Thank you.
As we were talking about, you know, how we are doing church today, what about children's church, teen church? Mm-hmm. How are they responding to this virtual experience?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that people are wondering about right now. I know some places are doing virtual Bible school and virtual church camps this summer. And I think, you know, one of the challenges, like you were just saying, about how much time can we spend on Zoom, you know, right. That's one of the big challenges. I know for some young people that this is a mode that they feel comfortable with, sometimes maybe more comfortable than in person, getting together with people in a youth setting where they don't maybe feel as comfortable sharing a lot when they're in person. But if they write something in the chat window or they're doing it via screen, sometimes people feel less intimidated about sharing aspects of their personal life, then sometimes when they're in person, it feels too intense. So I think for some people, it's an advantage because this is a mode that they are increasingly comfortable with and have grown up with. But for others, definitely, they're very much missing and really aching to be together in person. And it doesn't really satisfy that desire. So I think it depends. But churches are really trying to figure out how can we be connected with the young people at this time.
And then finally, I was reading today some newspapers that talked about wedding ceremonies. You know, over 500, there were supposed to be 500,000 weddings in the month of June alone throughout the country.
Amazing.
And of course, we're starting to see those changes. The venues are being adversely affected. Of course, even the churches, those ceremonies are not happening there anymore.
Right.
What are you hearing from the churches about the cancellation of weddings, or are they rescheduling, or are they finding new ways so that it still happens within the sanctuary with just fewer people?
Yeah, well, I think people are taking a number of different approaches. So some are obviously canceling. For some people, I know I've heard that, you know, not being able to hug any of your guests is just sounds too difficult. But for others, the date, the time is really meaningful for them, and they don't want to change that. Maybe the date has a special significance with their family. And so they're wanting to go forward with a much smaller gathering. And, you know, we've been seeing a number of funerals being done over Zoom and weddings. Some weddings are deciding to go that direction as well. So people are saying this tool potentially gives us the opportunity to continue and to bring some people together, right? Family members that can't travel could still be a part of this. So people are trying to figure this out, and I think a lot of people are looking at the options and trying to figure out what's best for them and their loved ones.
And are the churches working it out with them financially? Are they cutting the price back and say, you don't owe us that whole price? Or are they saying, hey, let's try to reschedule something special later? Or are they just returning the funds to the bride and groom?
Right. I think there's a wide variety. I think some are definitely returning the funds, but others are saying, can we reschedule and then we'll keep the, you know, the deposit. And but I haven't heard of any kind of saying, because we're doing this virtually, we're going to have a real reduced fee. But I think all of this is sort of open for question right now. And I think, right, you know, churches are needing to figure this out.
Well, we need your guidance, Deanna Thompson. So I really appreciate you joining us tonight. And if anything changes, or, you know, you want to share some more information, please give us a call and let me know. Because, boy, as we watch this unfold,
I mean,
they're saying now that COVID-19 could be around for the rest of the year. We don't know.
Right.
And with that being said, there's still so much more to say, right?
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Deanna Thompson.
Thank
really
you
appreciate
so much.
It. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the weather in just a moment.